LeBlanc go out there.
They should really put that on the sweatshirt.
Miami of Ohio. Yes, they should. Except the Miami Indians were actually in Ohio. I don't know how they, I think they shipped them all down. Anyway, okay. You guys know Joel McHale from The Soup. It's on Friday nights, 10 o'clock, E Channel.
Yes.
Then we've called that channel by various names. I don't know if it's okay to do that anymore.
No, it is the Ryan Seacrest.
It's the Ryan Seacrest. Okay.
And I don't mind being part of Team Seacrest.
Okay, nice.
I got the uniform.
Good. I noticed
the
you wore that in tonight. You took it off pretty quick, though.
Well, it's kind of like that Mormon underwear. You have to wear it almost all the time.
Right.
Unless, yeah, it's consecrated. It's great.
Right.
Would you like one of the uniforms?
Sure.
Actually, I don't know if you're allowed
to. As long as it doesn't say kiss my ass on the back of it, because somebody, like my kids' teachers, may not like that, as what happened last time when Joel kindly gave us a bunch of Soup t-shirts and my kids wore them to school.
I'm wearing mine right now.
Are you really?
And I forgot you were even coming in.
Oh.
And they were told to go home.
That's great.
Yeah, privacy.
We have new t-shirts that say, what do they say? They say t-shirts are a-holes. Teachers are a-holes. That's what it says.
Perfectly. Oh, I'll let them wear that one.
Yeah.
Be perfect.
It would have been a better joke if I could actually say it. Jeez.
So we haven't really set you up in a long time here, because last time I was with you, I was in New York or something.
You were in Boston. That was really interesting, because you don't see the same verbal cues physically. That so I was just talking a lot. And my wife was like, hey, you talked a lot.
That's good.
Well, no, but she was, and that's, well, that was my next question. I was like, was it good?
No, that's good. And also, there's a little tiny little delay, though, and so having somebody with rhythm and going, you can kind of anticipate and then slip in, and no one hears the delay. It's good. It's good.
Or you look like you're handicapped.
Yes, yes. But if you're funny, what difference does it make? You know what I mean? If I look handicapped, it's all right.
That's it, big if.
It's all right.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But did you got home all right? Because we were talking about you being jumped on the way home from Boston. I'd be in the studio in Boston when you got out at 3 in the morning or whatever.
Oh, yes. It was fine. It was fine.
It was all right.
Was that Boston, really? Was that where I was?
You're in Boston.
Oh, God.
And then you were just in Cleveland?
Yeah, I've moved around lately. It's been bad. It's been bad, bad, bad.
Where's the farthest you've been to do the show? Like, have you ever done it from Reykjavik?
No. I've not done it from Iceland.
Have you ever done it out of the country?
No. But I've talked about it. I've thought about it.
Have you made money out of the country?
No. Never done that.
You should see how far you can get.
Okay.
Like, go to Barrow, Alaska.
Challenge. Okay. It's a challenge.
And do it from the Arctic Circle.
I almost did it from Hawaii once.
You didn't do it when you were recently in Hawaii, yet?
No, I did not, thank God.
Okay.
That was vacation.
You have to do it in 4 a.m.
Joel Harkin from Seattle. Joel went to University of Washington.
Yep.
Joel was a major in history.
Yes.
Joel was a football player.
Yep. So far, you're right.
Punching bag / football player.
I was what?
Tackling.
My position was wind knocked out of her. I often thought if I got through a practice without having the wind knocked out of me, it was a good practice.
Did you play in high school, too? You must have.
Not really.
What?
It's a long story.
I'm ready.
All right. I was recruited out of high school to be a rower because I'm lanky. And
you were a rower in high school.
And I was a rower in high school,
in
and I was
Seattle.
Good at rowing in Seattle. So I played basketball, and I was a rower. Then I went to the University of Washington, and I began rowing, and it was all fine. Then, except that, I don't even know if this is the case now. Actually, there was a case in the news recently. Two rowers at the University of Washington were just kicked off the team, but there's a lot of hazing at that point that went on.
Uh-oh.
And I actually told this story on Adam's show, but... The freshman boat had to shave their head and shave their eyebrows off and put that hair into a hair pillow, and then that pillow was put into a display case along with the other hair pillows. Great idea. And then I didn't push my chair in properly at some meal, and then I was surrounded by the 9 varsity guys, the 10 varsity guys, and then they began hitting me and my friend. And that was pretty much, I was like, you know, I don't need to.
You didn't get up and start wailing yourself?
Well, I figured I'm not going to win a fight with 10 guys. And I would look, though noble, I probably would look different than I do today, even more frightening than I do now. And so I was in a fraternity at that point, and there was a bunch of football players. And as kind of a dare, I went out for the football team.
And once you joined the football team, I hope you took all those guys. And
well, that was the thing. There was a lot of when I gained 40 pounds to play football, and I'd been on the team for 2 years, and I'd see these what now looked like to be little withery willow guys and just tiny little rowers, and there was some sort of satisfaction. But
you didn't go kick their ass.
It wasn't. I would have been thrown off the football team because I wasn't important enough.
Of course.
And at that point,
you should have taken some of the important guys with you.
Yeah, I should have. Mm-hmm. But then they would have probably, at that
killed somebody.
The University of Washington at that point, the basketball team, the football team got in huge trouble because a bunch of big players took loans.
Oh.
And the whole team got suspended.
Oh, my God.
And they were taken off TV, and it was a big disaster. But, no, it was a really terrifying experience to be out on the football field, not really knowing what I'm doing. But I, thank God, was able to catch up. And now some of the guys I'm with are still playing in the NFL. And they were such superhuman athletes that
wow.
it was scary being out there.
And so you're the 40-pound weight increase, steroids?
Sure. Horse tranquilizers, sure. Steroids, and milkshakes.
Sure, okay.
I thought it could help.
I believe you, of course.
I did know of a guy who, there was always guys that were, they were always showing up to test everybody. Mm. And I wasn't as serious about it as, you know, some of these guys. But they were always showing up to test guys. And they would walk into the weight room and go, you, and you, and then pull them in. And they would have to watch them urinate.
Wow.
Which was pretty arousing.
Nice. You know, they have those fake penises now that my patients use.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And they got the urine bladder there, right in. Oh, and they have different color penises.
Is there a pierced fake penis?
I'm sure of it. It's called the Whizzer, as I recall.
And it's the cops or whoever buy that?
No, the patients, and people are trying to get through these tests.
Oh. But isn't there a way you can get through? I always talk to people like, oh, you got a drug test coming up? Here, drink this gallon
of
tea.
That's mostly BS. Now, because here's the deal. If we know how to adulterate the urine, those of us that are doing the screening, and if we see evidence of adulteration, that's a positive test.
Can you cover the adulteration?
No. Well, the addicts tend to stay so ahead of us that usually there's something they figure out. Right now, I don't know what that is.
Right. Yeah, but, I think it's a bushel of asparagus.
But up to a few weeks ago, no, they couldn't. And if you're going to use the Whizzer and have a bladder of urine there, of your buddy's urine, you got to make sure it's certain, you know, age and temperature and that kind of stuff, because we look at all that stuff.
So you can smell aged urine?
Yeah, that's
you
what
can
I was thinking.
You can pick up aged urine.
Yeah, well, we call it a bouquet.
Oh.
I mean.
And do you what? Use a snifter? Like a brandy snifter?
Yeah.
All right.
That's cool. Hey. Is there a problem with that?
No, I think it's great. I think whatever, because you can totally drink it.
Let's take some calls. Joel McHale, The Soup.
This is great.
Ellie, what's happening, Ellie?
Hello, this is Drew. We just concerned, my boyfriend and I, because we've been going out for about 7 months now, and sometimes when I orgasm, I pass out.
So do you hyperventilate and pass out, or do you sort of bear down so hard that you go out for a second, or are you just have a seizure and go out? I mean, what happens?
Wow.
No, I guess it's just like for a couple seconds, but, you know, I'm unconscious, but...
You're sure you're unconscious?
Yeah, I mean...
Is it a good thing or a bad thing?
It feels good, but...
Do you convulse when you're out? Like when you sometimes people faint and they kind of twitch?
Right.
No, I don't think I do.
Okay, well, my dear, you're calling from New Orleans, right?
I'm sorry?
Are you calling from New Orleans?
Yes.
Are you just moved back in or you been out? How is it down there?
Yeah, we just moved back in. Actually, we live right outside New Orleans, and... We're just, you know, I go to Tulane, so just...
Right. Wow. You guys are back in session.
Just don't drive while you're...
Seizing.
Yeah.
All right, Ellie, here's the possibilities here, the common possibilities. One is that you're hyperventilating and passing out. The other is that you're bearing down real hard, doing like a Valsalva maneuver, and when that happens, you can slow your heart rate down and pass out.
What's a Valsalva?
Like you're lifting a weight. That's called a Valsalva.
All right.
I don't know where that came from, but I used to know.
There's a guy?
Mr. Valsalva, Dr. Valsalva? No, we'll look it up.
All right, yeah.
Mental note. Hold on.
Val.
Stop the show.
I'm sorry. Derailing it.
This is great.
All right,
radio.
So it's Valsalva. Either she's bearing down.
Okay, bearing down, or just you get what's called a vasovagal reaction spontaneously, which is like swooning, like, you know, sort of traditionally in the antebellum South, young ladies would swoon.
Oh.
That was a vasovagal reaction.
Wow.
Some people just get those. You pass out otherwise?
No, I don't. I have never passed out.
Okay,
really.
Here's my concern, though, is that this also can be an occult or sort of hidden cardiac problem.
Oh.
And so it's worth having this looked into a little bit further. It's probably nothing. It's probably one of those three things I said, but I'd go a little bit further, okay?
You want to get with a real decent doctor because he might or she might want to recreate the just be careful.
Okay.
Because they wouldn't want to see, well, I don't know, you know.
Well, I'm just sitting here listening. I think you're right.
I just think you need to, because the doctor, you know, if you got a busted, hurt knee, you're like, well,
let's
when
move it
does
around.
It hurt? Yeah,
let's
see what, yeah, so be careful.
All right, Ellie, let us know what happens, all right?
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Valvular heart problems, electrical problems.
And you've
heart,
seen that before?
I've seen things like that.
But wouldn't she have the same, if she was working out a lot, wouldn't that happen too?
Yeah, but not necessarily. All we know, her vagal tone is up, so to speak. And in that situation, things can be expressed that might not otherwise be expressed.
Vagal tone?
Vagal tone. We'll look that up too. David, it's a new cologne, vagal tone.
Vagal tone and Valsalva sound like they're East German...
dishes?
Or ice skating coaches.
Yes. Oh. That's or gymnastic coaches.
Yeah, gymnastic
really.
Coach.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys got Valsalva? Okay, go ahead.
David, what's up?
I'm having trouble getting over, me and my girlfriend, we talked about our past sexual experiences tonight.
Oh, that's a smart move. That's a great move. You just what? Who have you been with? How many? You getting all the details, or what'd you do?
Yeah.
More mystery, less history. Mr. McHale, the history major, even will tell you that.
Yeah. Did you, David, also take a nap during the conversation? Because you sound like you just woke up from about 16 hours of sleep. Are you all right?
No, I drive a truck over the road, and I've been up for a day and a half, and I was going to bed tonight, but I
can't. You're too freaked out. All right, well, so what happened? What was the ground rules of the discussion? Like, you tell me, and I'll tell you what.
It was basically my idea. We've been going out for 10 months now, and I got really strong feelings for her, and we're fixing to have a baby in May.
Now, David, what was the story?
Well, what did she tell you that freaked you out?
That she had been with six guys at once, and the other one was that she had been with 14 guys in one night.
David, can you sing the story to us instead?
My name's Dave.
Oh, David, here's the deal.
Dave, okay. Other than that, what
was the bad? Where was the troublesome story? Is that what you're asking? David, this is sort of outside of the realm of her sort of choosing to do things. This is like drug addicted rape.
This is nuts.
This is rape, manic behavior. This is something... This is mental illness, or something, or criminal behavior, something she was sort of victimized awfully or something.
Dave, were you always curious about it and you thought something was going on?
Joel, you acquired David's accent, by the way.
Dave, listen, I want to talk to him in a way.
I understand, you want to reach him in his lovely.
So how many guys was she? I'm sorry. Did you suspect something? Is that why you... why you were stayed up a day and a half and all that and kind of got into this big conversation?
When we first started going out, since I'm always out on the road, I always did, but our trust has grown a lot.
David, you're misinterpreting what you're dealing with here. You're thinking, what would I, David, have been like if I wanted to have sex with 14 girls in one night? That's not what this is. This is somebody who was loaded and got raped, or something of that order.
Right. Okay, good.
Is she alcoholic or drug addict right now? Or has she been recently until she got pregnant?
She was heavy into drugs.
Right, that's what this all is, David. This is all drug addiction. This is not like, oh, my God, she's so horny. My God, she's going to be with other guys. This is drug addicted. This is a disease state.
This is bad, Dave.
This is mental health problems. Now, it doesn't mean she's going to run out on you. It doesn't mean anything, but it does mean if she doesn't get treatment for her addiction, she's going to be doing more drugs. Period.
Can I ask you one more question? Because I've listened to you a lot over the road.
Yeah.
And on a couple of your shows, you've mentioned how girls that have been raped are always attracted to the guys that will...
Well, I'll tell you, here's what I've said, is that when people were terrorized, sexually abused, physically abused in childhood, that person that can render that same kind of abuse becomes immensely attractive to somebody when they hit puberty and young adulthood. Or they go through a series of those relationships with those kinds of abusive a-holes, then they find themselves a nice guy, which is somebody they should be with, but then they sabotage that.
They have a talk show.
Or they have talk shows. That is what happens. They make lots and lots of money.
All right.
But David, I mean...
Dave, you need to sleep for about 24 hours in the middle.
Get a nap and take care of yourself.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Mm-hmm. We're passing notes.
Yeah.
And, you know, I worry about you and your, you know, how you're feeling right now. Don't let this overwhelm you. Just think of it in terms of her having a condition that's treatable, and let's get her some treatment, okay?
All right.
This is really about addiction. I mean, yes, I'm sure she's a trauma survivor, too, but what you're dealing with, what's making you feel so bad, is the addiction. Allison.
And also,
hi, Allison. What's happening?
Hi. I have a question.
Don't be driving a truck.
Did you see how tired he was?
I know. That's how I feel. Allison.
Hi.
Here we go. You're on with Joel McHale.
Oh, wait.
I got a radio one.
Huh?
Is that your radio or is that your friends yelling at you?
Oh, my friend's with me. Sorry.
Okay.
Are they coaching you?
Well, yeah, we were both trying to call on at the same time. And get
right
on.
You got in. You lucked out.
Yeah, I know. Okay, well, I had a question. Me and my boyfriend we've been broken up, but we've still been hanging out and talking every single day and still dating, and we would still have sex every once in a while. And
this is every.
Oh, you mean your boyfriend?
Yeah, this is every 19-year-old's dream, by the way. I don't have a girlfriend anymore. She still has sex with me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we hang out and date.
Well done.
I still talk to her every day.
So, yeah. Alice, do you watch Joel McHale in the Soup?
No.
What? How dare you?
I'm just kidding.
No, it's all right. That's,
oh, and the other
my
day,
kids love the Soup. Before I ever knew you, they loved
that's
the
Soup.
That's
good.
Yeah, it's good. Good. All right.
The Flavor Flav show alone.
That's good.
Right. So, Allison, what do you want?
So, okay. What's happening now? So,
you've
got
a horrible.
Horrible situation.
Yeah.
You have a sex with the guy because you either you're afraid of being alone or you're convinced because he has sex with you, he's going to be back in love with you again, which is nonsense. But go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, the other day.
I think, actually, Allison, you should stick with him and just ride this out.
Oh, that's good.
For like 3 years.
But there's a question.
See how much better it gets.
What's the question?
Okay, well, when I woke up in the morning, I saw a condom in a trash can, and me and him, we don't use condoms, so mm-hmm. I was curious to why he had them in the first place.
Why would you be curious? He's not your boyfriend.
Really, he can do whatever he wants.
Well, yeah, but still, like, we're still really close. We're not together. Like, we want to be together,
Allison.
But we can't right now.
No, no. You want to be together with him. He wants to go have sex and use those condoms.
Right. That's why he doesn't want you as a girlfriend. He wants to have sex with you.
And, I can't wait to hear the lie he came up with.
What did he say?
What did he say? Okay, what was the condom doing there? Are you a water balloon?
I asked him why he had it, and then he was like, oh, Breeze, like, he would just tell me, oh, it's really embarrassing, like, I don't even want to tell you. I'm like, well, what is it? He's like,
yeah,
oh, I
because,
you
know, I didn't know
how to put it on, so it's practicing.
First of all, I would love to see the thought bubble over his head while he's just, while he's stalling for time, trying to figure out what to tell her.
I think there was a lot of, hey, what's that over there? And then he ran the other direction.
Like, I brought up, like, a day later, and then he said...
Why'd you wait a day?
Because he was too embarrassed to tell her, and right. Allison...
I didn't want to bring it up, because I knew we weren't together, and I didn't want to make a big deal about it, but then I was just really curious, so I had to ask.
Of course, yeah, curious.
And
so what did he say?
He was truthful in the past with me when he hooked up with other girls.
Oh, yeah.
He said the reason why it was in there is because he used it to jack off with, because it was lubricated, and I was
a great answer.
Yes, well done. Gentlemen,
that's
everyone,
it.
19-year-old male should be taking notes.
Yeah! I want to spice up my masturbating with a condom.
Needs to be some sort of award for that one. That was really
that's a terrible
answer.
No,
it's great. Oh, are you kidding? She bought it completely.
You bought it, Allison?
No, I haven't talked to him. I haven't talked to him ever since because, like, I didn't believe him. All my friends said that it has to be a lie, and I even asked guys and everything. They said they've never used one like that. And he just
here's the reality.
Friends.
Let me just give him a little bit of props here a little bit. He probably heard me talking about this because even though Joel was just making fun of this fact, I say men should practice putting condoms on because they always complain, oh, I have to stop, I can't get them on. They should be like, phew, they should be able to throw one on from across the room.
Oh.
You know what I mean? They should practice putting condoms, and if they say they lose their erection.
Like a superhero.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, just go into, barely go behind an alley and can.
Right. It's like Superman, like Clark Kent turning into Superman. That's too long.
Have you thought about making a public service announcement?
Yes, I have.
About the timing?
I think it's a great idea.
All right.
And I think if when guys say, I don't like how it feels, or I can't reach an orgasm, or I lose my erection, I have said, and I will continue to say, they should masturbate with a condom on to get used to it. Because it's how else are they going to get used to it?
I roll my own condoms. A lot of people like a cigarette, you know?
Yeah, I understand.
So I just have raw latex in my house, and I like to make them up myself. Anyway, let's get back. But if this guy had been practicing,
well,
here's
the deal. What's he practicing for? Since he doesn't use a condom with Allison,
yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah,
he just said he used it because it was clean, It was cool to do it that way, and it was lubricated, but he lives in an apartment by himself.
By the way, lubrication's on the outside.
Yeah, that's a little odd.
That's where he, hey, what's his name?
His name's
Smarty.
Brian.
Oh, Brian. I thought it was Smarty Pants. Maybe Albert Schweitzer.
Brian, here's the deal, Brian. Too much information. You had it with the masturbate and the condom. Don't keep going into the specific type of condom lubrication.
Yep.
You nailed it with the. It was so startling and so dazzling. You just nailed it with the excuse. So it, going into what type and the lubrication is what? No, he lost it there.
Allison, I turned it inside out because I know the lubrication's on the other side, guy. Allison, are you crazy? Come on. You stop seeing this guy and just move on with your life.
Yeah, move on and get a real boyfriend, okay?
Have you ever heard of anyone doing that, though, before?
Moving on?
Yep.
No, never.
No, never.
It's weird. But this is it.
Yes, I have. And like I said, although you weren't listening, I advocate it. But the guys don't ever do it.
Yeah.
And maybe this is one of my disciples. Maybe he's actually done it. And if he brings my name up, I'll back him up on it.
Really?
But if he doesn't, then he's lying.
See, he's listening to this now, and he's going like, okay,
Joel.
When she asks me, I'm going to go,
Joel.
Yeah, you're just helping him out. Okay.
I'm just helping the guy out. The guy, he dazzled with this. He's really clever.
I did register for one of these courses at an experimental college up in Culver City, but I had to drop out.
Nice.
And bring my materials.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, Allison, where are you going to school?
Cal State Fullerton.
Nice. Enjoy.
Good.
Okay, thank you.
Right, nice job.
Bye. Let's take a break, shall we?
No, that was great. Let's keep going.
No, we got to take a break. I think we'll give the screeners a chance to catch up with us. The phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. This is Loveline. That is Joel McHale from The Soup.
Yes.
Fridays at 10 on the Ryan Seacrest Network, also known as the E Channel. And we will be right back. Here we go. It's Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. This is Dr. Drew. That is Joel McHale. And there's something on your mind.
No, well, each time now that I, thank God, have been able to do the show, like one phone call...
Stays with you.
Stays with me. And last time, it wasn't a phone call. It was you relating the story of a phone call about the guy that had his penis pierced. And they
lost
the infection spread all the way to his abdomen.
Yes, they had to dig out his whole pelvic area.
And I tell, because I'll go into the soup the next day, and they'll be like, "How was it?" I'm like, "Guy pierced his penis, infection scooped out of his abdomen, and it's just."
And then Tom vomits.
Tom then, yeah, it's just.
I can show
you
some pictures of this. As a matter of fact,
Dr. Drew has a textbook here.
Whoops.
That would have been hilarious to have around seventh grade.
Yes.
And oh my lord.
Oh yes.
It looks like
we entertain with
it. It either looks like an anatomy book or
assembly. Here we go.
Or a way to open oysters or gooey ducks. Oh my
gooey duck.
What's a gooey duck? It's a gigantic, you can look at a picture on the
female transsexual.
Oh my gosh. I wish I don't know how to relate this to the people on the air, but is that a man?
I think that's a female. That's a male one. It's
okay.
Male to female.
This is great. And now I have something I'm going to take to my grave, Dr. Drew.
It's good times, all right?
You know what's great about this show? Is that it's a radio show.
I know, but showing these pictures, people love hearing you react.
Oh, gosh.
Anyway.
Oh, look at that.
Franken penis.
I just want to let you know there's a picture of just a penis lying on the ground there.
Mm-hmm. With a suture.
Will that be used for later?
I think, well, you know what it is?
You know what it looks like, folks? It looks like a roast that has been recently sewed up with spices.
You know what that is?
What is that?
That is a facsimile of penis made out of a forearm.
Oh, right.
Yes, they're going to then attach it.
Now, do they use the person's
female.
Forearm? Oh, it's attached to the female.
Yeah.
Okay, let's...
here's how they do it again. It's the forearm.
Yeah, we're going to have to take a commercial break very soon because this is the worst thing I have ever seen in my life.
There it is.
Okay, this is a picture, folks. Of the person's forearm that they've skinned, and they've made a penis out of his forearm.
Skin, out of the skin.
Literally out of the skin.
Literally.
And it looks like it's some sort of superhero that if he were to, like Spider-Man who can shoot web out of his wrist, he would shoot semen out of his wrist if he wanted to.
Oh, wow. I see. It's like attached. So you can
it's attached right there.
Oh,
you just flick it out like the web.
Yes.
And it's really too bad these aren't color photos.
And here is attached. There you go.
Just imagine this poor guy. This is a cadaver's arm or is that a guy's arm?
No, that's the guy who
that's a guy's arm.
That's the gal's arm.
The sacrifice to become a woman.
I think that's the gal's arm, yeah.
That's real. I want to be the
No, I think it's the gal's arm going to become a man.
Right, so that person's alive and they'll just...
Yeah.
I just want to say that how great would it be to be the photographer? How be like, great. Hey, do you want to make a little extra money? Because I know you're in photography and you like shooting stuff. You mind coming down to the hospital? There's a guy with a penis growing out of his forearm.
And I think all this is the kind of stuff they would do for the guy with the infection. They just all that, bring it all off.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's good times.
I don't know how.
You should have gone to medical school.
No, I really should have because I would be a lot thinner.
Yeah.
It would be a great diet.
Let's take some calls. Jennifer, you brought it up. Jennifer, what's going on?
Jennifer, yeah, what's
happening? Oh, Jennifer Harkins from Richard Nixon's territory.
Mm.
You're Belinda.
Yeah, you're Belinda.
What's happening?
Well, I just heard your last call on the radio. I'm not sure where you guys are right now on the airwaves, but about the condom, the girl found a condom that was located, and he said that he was
practicing masturbating.
Exactly.
Right.
Well, I had come home, you know, from school because I go night schools, and basically I found a condom in the couch.
Mm-mm.
And I noticed that, you know, he was acting weird or whatever, and he occasionally uses the needle. And I was just, like, confused.
What?
Hang on, Jennifer. You sort of threw us there a little bit. You mean as a heroin
addict? First, we thought he was maybe had a thing for the couch, and then...
Yeah, well, he did have a condom in the couch or whatever, but, I was, like, confused because I know that when we used to do drugs together, he used to be all freaky. And, like...
So he'd get freaky when you guys would do drugs together?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, like nasty. And, like, now that I have a kid and everything, I stopped that or whatever. And I came home one night, and I found a condom in the couch, and he, you know, I asked him about it, and he said he was using it to masturbate, you know, because it has lubrication. But Dr. Drew said lubrication was on the outside.
Right.
And I didn't know that because we don't use condoms. Like the other girl had said, she didn't use condoms. And so my question was, guys really don't use it to masturbate?
Unfortunately, they don't. I advocate that they do, as you heard me say, but they don't. And
that was a crazy story.
I know.
They'd be like, dinner was pretty good the other night, but when I pulled out my machete, it was really weird because the food didn't cut as well. But then, then Brad Pitt.
Here's the deal, Jennifer. Drug addicts lie.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, we move on.
Where'd you find the needle?
Well, I found it in his shoe. Like, he calls me Nancy Drew all the time because I'm always constantly asking him questions. And it's my right because he has my child and I live with him. And, you know, I really wish he wouldn't do
you,
like
look,
you.
It's no big deal. There's a condom in the couch and there's a needle in my shoe. Get off my back.
You exactly, must have yeah. had you must have had drug addicted parents.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, just it's so matter of fact to you. It's crazy, Jennifer. You can't. Poor Joel never heard of this. His delicate white boy sensibilities were just completely violent. He was like, "What? A needle? Oh my God!"
Wasn't it strange how it came out?
Well,
though?
It is because that's
it wasn't so much like "oh." It was more just how it kind of dropped out.
That's the point. Because for her, boys do. Men use needles. What's the big deal? Dad used needle my whole life. It's good.
You're right. That does. It is a delicate sensibility.
Yeah. So.
Well,
so he's still using drugs and what?
Yeah. He's still using drugs. Well.
All right, Jennifer, get out of there. Come on. Hey, get your son out of there.
Get your child away from him.
He's got to get in a program. He's got to spend some time in a sober living. And if you got 6 months under his belt, you bring him back.
And remove the couch.
And you need a little work too. Maybe you need some codependency treatment. So go wherever he goes, participate in the treatment, and let's. Rewire some of your thinking a bit, okay?
Dr. Drew, can I ask you one more question?
Yeah.
You can have four more questions.
Okay. When we were doing drugs together, he was inserting the needle in me for me because I didn't know how. And he had he basically stabbed it in my foot.
You're kidding.
No, and it caused a
spent too much time around the theater.
The foot.
It caused a lot of blood clot?
It caused a bump.
Yeah.
And that bump still hurts, and it's been quite a few months. And
usually, that's a clotted vein, and it's easy to irritate that. When you wear a shoe, it'll get irritated every time.
Exactly. Every time, like, my child steps on it or I put it in my shoe, it hurts really bad.
Sometimes they'll even cut that out for you if it really bothers you.
I hate it when my kid steps on my needle holes.
On your, it's really your
it's
track.
On my track, yeah, my track marks.
And I don't want to go to the doctor because I'm just afraid. And, like, because I'm not...
You're afraid of what?
I'm afraid that they're going to take my child away or something like that. And I just,
get away from that boyfriend.
You got to get away from that guy and get into a program and stop letting him stab you in the foot.
There you go.
Really?
That pretty much summarizes it.
Oh.
Danielle, what's happening?
I just basically wanted to know why I'm so insecure about myself that I keep running back to these guys that treat me like...
Well, maybe it's maybe. You don't have any awareness of your surroundings. You've dropped the big S-bomb in the middle of the radio and your mom. And no, we'll maybe go back to her in just a second. Let's take Josh. What's happening, Josh?
Oh, hi. Well, I'm really, like, addicted to, like, looking up girls' skirts, and sometimes I, like, even masturbate to it, like, from the internet and stuff.
Hmm. Yeah. Those are the places you go on the internet?
The images?
Oh, yeah.
And you actually are doing that to young girls?
Well, I don't know. Sometimes I just, like, see, like, up someone's skirt by accident, you know?
Mm.
But, you know, like, really, like, turns me on and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, the good thing is that you don't sound creepy. But
any girl would like somebody who talks like that, right?
How long has it been going on?
I don't know, like, 2 years, I guess.
And this is the thing that only works for you?
Well, no, other stuff, but that's usually what, like, you know, works the best for me. Well,
what other stuff
you're talking? Are you using an abacus in the background?
What?
Well, never mind. I just heard some background. Anyway,
Josh, this kind of disturbing kind of behavior, it's sort of a fetish, and maybe you want to get a little help with that before you harm yourself or somebody else. How about that?
Okay.
All right.
It's not, you know that it's probably not the best thing for you to be doing.
Yeah.
Do you have a doctor? Did you ever see a psychiatrist or psychologist or anything?
No.
Maybe you can see a counselor at school, maybe get a recommendation. You don't really have to get right into this just yet. I mean, as you get a relationship and some trust built with the therapist, then you can kind of bring this all up. And I think if you start being less depressed and more effective socially, I don't think you'll have so many of these symptoms.
The good news is he didn't stab anyone with a needle in the foot.
Right. He doesn't have an infected track. Jack.
He became very quiet, Dr. Drew, during that phone call.
During which?
Well, you got very, you kind of matched his level of...
Josh. Yeah, yeah.
Hey, buddy.
True. Mirroring. All right. Yeah, Jack.
Jock,
what's up?
I beg your pardon.
No worries, man. Everyone happens all the time. Joel, I want to hear your story, man. You got started in before the soup and stuff.
Oh, well, grew up in Seattle and started doing a lot of acting there starting around 8th grade and through high school, and got into improv pretty heavily.
Like,
and what?
Like stand-up comedy?
No, I've never really done stand-up at all. I've messed around for a little bit on my friend's open mic night, but I never, ever had an act or anything like that, because it seems like an awful lot of work.
Whose line is it anyway type stuff?
Yeah, more so along those lines. And then I got onto this sketch comedy show called Almost Live, which was a locally produced television show in Seattle, which was on the NBC affiliate, which... never really existed anywhere else in the country, where it was kind of a local, we made fun of everything local. Then went to graduate school for acting, then I came here and started doing a lot of commercials. That was the work that I could get, and then I got a small part on Spider-Man 2, and then really? I was a guest host on Loveline. That's pretty
so
much it, then the suit.
So
I mean, that could not be more of a thumb. That was really quick, but
do you think
that's
it's pretty
basically
crucial to have a degree if you're going into that kind of field?
I would say that it is crucial to have training, but not necessarily a degree, because I've seen all sorts of incredible actors that have had no training, and then I've seen really mediocre actors with
tons of training.
A ton of training and vice versa.
Would you agree a complete education, though, is a critical
A complete
thing?
Education is really important,
because you can't play smart, and you can't, you know what I mean, you're not aware of the
Unless
choices.
Unless you are a true genius.
Right, right.
It's great to be well-rounded with...
Yeah, Jock's a genius. He picked that
you
up.
You sound.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I think you...
Yeah, thanks a lot, Drew. Appreciate it.
No, but yeah, I would say whatever it is, if it's performing or whatever it is, be aware of your world and also work your tail off to be good at it. So that's about as...
That would about fit for any field, no matter what you get into.
Yeah, there's a lot of people I meet here that are actors that say that they're actors and haven't acted since the moment they got here.
Right.
And it's always kind of like a lawyer I don't know, they write letters to people and they fight, they argue in court, and or doctors operate and actors act and train. So anyway, that's kind of my there you go. Thank you.
Phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. That is Joel McHale from The Soup, E! Channel, Friday, 10 o'clock. If you're not familiar with the show, it's about time you become familiar.
Yeah, we save you a lot of time.
You don't need to watch any other television, such greats as Flava Flav and Bobby Brown.
Recently, The Surreal Life.
These things are worshipped on Phil. The Soup. Oh, I haven't seen that much Phil. What'd you have with Phil?
It depends on, it's usually, we do, he has such crazy montages of his guests. Like, there was this woman that kind of became a famous clip, but I guess it was a few months ago where she did not want to have oral sex. And this older couple, I can't even use the subject. She's like, he just thinks his definition of oral sex is he has to ejaculate in my mouth.
Oh, my God.
And came back to me, I'm like, yeah, that show's on at 3 o'clock, folks.
Yeah.
Hope your latchkey kids enjoy that. But then they put them in a black background with crazy lighting, and they have them kind of perform their problem, and then they come back to Dr. Phil, and he yells at them for an hour. So it's a great setup for a show. I wish I could do that show.
Oh.
I also love his diet program. I'm a 260-pound doctor, and listen to me. My diet book is fantastic.
Well, it's just the power of evangelism.
Yeah.
There's nothing there, but I'm going to cure you.
I'm going to write a book on how to be a ballet dancer or something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Whatever.
Yeah, have you been on a show?
No.
Oh, that would be that would be like these two different powers fighting. It would be like Godzilla and Mothra going at it. That would be great. I could just see, he could just be yelling at you, and you could just sit there quietly, and then you would be like,
zing.
Well, Dr. Phil, I would be great.
Get some zing.
You know what you should do? You should challenge him to physical challenges.
Yes, yes.
Because of his diet. You could have like a sprint and then maybe a log rolling thing. He'd probably be good at that.
Something like that.
Anyway, yeah.
All right, we're going to take a break. Be right back. Here we go. It is Love Line. That is Joel McHale. It is The Soup, 10 o'clock Friday at E, and then eternally played throughout the week.
Right.
Thank goodness.
It's Dr. Drew. He's got a textbook with bisected penises in it, everybody, and penises coming out of elbows.
I think we should do a little segment on The Soup about that book.
Yes. The problem is we would have to fuzz the entire book out, except for maybe the page numbers.
How about the forearm?
We'd have to fuzz out part of the... maybe if you said
it's just
it was
a forearm
something.
That's been rolled up.
Oh, my gosh.
To look like a penis, not even a penis.
We had a hard enough time getting ham winkies on the air.
And yet you could have all kinds of weird... people doing weird stuff and saying weird things.
As long as they're doing it and we're not creating.
I see. Got it.
Yeah, we can do it.
Still, I'm missing. I need a lot, quite a bit more Tom.
Did you see the showerhead? We did the Jonathan Anton showerhead.
Yes.
He was washing his hair in the Jonathan Anton showerhead.
Oh, I didn't see it.
Yeah, you should see. All Tom.
Okay,
it's all Tom. All right. We did a thing. Jonathan Anton, who's a.
I did see where he brings out the shower head and all that stuff.
But now we elaborated on the net, and we took a mannequin's head and turned it into Jonathan Anton.
Okay.
And stuck it onto a shower head.
Water
comes out of his
nice. And the
because
Tom
he cries
was,
all the time, and then
oh,
yeah,
that is pure
you would love it.
Genius. But yeah. I want to see Tom dance. That's what I miss. Ashley,
I don't know if he would want to do.
He used to dance all the time.
Yeah, he's. All right, we'll get him back in training.
Ashley.
Okay. Uh-huh.
What's up?
Hi.
Hey.
I had a quick question. I've heard from various girls. I work in a salon, and, you know, it's all women shop talk there. I heard that I was basically just wondering if there are any pros and cons to, like, swallowing semen. Because I heard it could, like, wear out the enamel, but then I've heard it has protein, so.
It makes
it
you a
will
lot
wear. What?
It makes you a lot prettier if you swallow it.
That's what my boyfriend says, so.
Oh,
nice. Yeah. But you will, Dr. Drew, it is true, though, that the enamel will wear down on the teeth. That is why.
I told my daughter that it's 50,000 calories a teaspoon.
It's like eating angel food cake covered in chocolate sauce and whipped cream.
And tastes like hell.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. I'm just thinking of ways to discourage my daughter from that. Anyway, it's got about 3 calories in it. It's mostly mucopolysaccharides, like when you blow your nose.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that is, Boast, basically.
Right.
And there's nothing positive in terms of nutrition or anything else.
So you cannot survive on it.
Right. Nothing.
Set out protein.
Huh?
Protein is a no.
Zero.
What salon is this you guys work at?
Zero. Joel's going to have to pay you guys a
You guys
visit.
Work at Fantastic Pukes?
You know, sometimes I'm going to be surprised, yeah.
Oh, I see.
Some of the things we talk about in there.
And here's the deal. By swallowing, that's how you can contract the viral sexually transmitted diseases.
Boom.
Like HIV, that sort of thing.
Right.
So the pros in terms of the positive aspects of it are purely...
For the guy.
They're appreciated by your partner if a guy's, you know, so. All righty?
How does that sound?
What?
Now you've got more to talk about tomorrow at the salon.
What else do you talk about? Just out of curiosity, give me a couple of other
topics.
Do you
ever go like, you know, refracted light?
What was Newton's law? How do you think of that?
See, we don't
it's
really
crazy.
Talk about anything of intelligence.
Well, give me another topic.
Well, we have some interesting clients. I'm not going to disclose the salon, but we have a couple clients that are strippers, and they tell stories. And
like what? Give us a story.
Like, some of them will do extra favors outside of work or extra little add-ons, even though...
What?
I do the same thing with the soup.
Oh, okay.
Purely, it's supposed to be purely just, you know, show. And
do you ever debate, like, with the way waxing has gone the last few years, do you ever debate maybe when pubic hair will come back?
You know... We don't do body waxing. We will do facial, but no body waxing.
They draw the line.
Hair. Yeah, that's ridiculous. Gosh, I'm sorry I insulted
not
you.
Not my thing.
All right, Ashley, thanks for the call.
Thanks, Ashley.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Josh, whoops. Josh.
Yes.
What's happening?
Not much. How are you guys?
We're good.
Good.
You?
I'm good. You?
So, I'm good. The problem is I brought this little vibrator for my girlfriend.
Right.
And she won't use it that much.
How?
She won't even
use
it at all.
Dang it.
How do you do that?
You bought it too? Did you save the receipt?
Yeah.
So you can't return a vibrator.
No,
can't
you
can't. Do it.
It's Nordstrom's you can.
Really?
Nordstrom's, yeah.
Oh, man.
Nordstrom's you can return anything.
Okay. Can you turn it in for, they don't give you a refund, but you can turn it in for a pair of shoes.
No, they'll give you a refund.
Oh, my goodness.
No, Nordstrom's has, like, the best return policy. They really do.
No, I was wondering,
seriously.
What can I do to get her to use it, though?
The brass vibrator rail is the, where you, okay.
What can you do to get her to use it? Okay, Josh, this is another one of those circumstances where the young man needs to fix the girl, make her work. We're going to figure her out why we can't squeeze an orgasm out of her. If she would just use this damn vibrator.
Is that the problem, is that she can't
have
an
sure
orgasm?
Sure, that's the thing.
No, she
right?
comes like crazy, but I just wanted to make it a little bit better, you know, just for her.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I get she comes like crazy. Come on.
Yeah.
Where is she? Is she over there?
Yeah, she's here.
Can we speak with her?
Yes.
Let me guess how long this will take to get her.
Hello?
Hi, what's your name?
Sarah?
Hi, Sarah. Good job faking with Josh. Well done. He's sort of picking up on it, and that's why he's trying to force this vibrator thing on you. What do you tell him?
I don't know. I just don't get near it.
Yeah, it's not something you care about or want to do, right?
Right.
Not at all.
Yeah. Why is he forcing it on you like that?
What do you tell him? I have no idea.
Turn your radio off, please.
Can you turn the radio off?
Turn the radio off.
Oh,
turn the
boy.
Turn the radio off.
Turn the radio off.
Oh, my God. Sorry.
All right, Sarah.
The radio.
Thank you.
Oh, my.
So what are we going to do with him? You like this guy?
I love him crazy.
You love him crazy.
Yeah.
Well, then.
Well, and he won't take no for an answer with the vibrator.
No.
Why do you think that's so important to him?
I have no idea.
He sounds like a great guy.
Yeah, I know. I don't want to get into that. But here's what we got to do. Put the law down. Look, if you keep talking about the vibrator, there'll be no more sex. He will stop talking about it. Boom. Okay? You don't want it. You don't want it. Doesn't do anything for you. You're not interested in it. Pow. Got it?
We just
Is there a carbon monoxide leak in your house?
You just parked?
We're in the car and we just parked and now there's a cop.
She's making a phone call. I don't want to drive when she's talking. Do you want to smooth?
Is there a policeman?
Yeah, there's a policeman.
Can we talk to the policeman?
Yeah, can you put the policeman on?
Oh, my God.
All right, you hang on this, Sarah. We have to take a break while you handle it with police. And
that was really horrible.
Yeah, I know.
I'm gonna apologize.
Stop scratching for him. It makes me think of that picture. 1-800-LOVE.
Look at my forearm. This
1-800-LOVE-191 is the phone number. This is Joel McHale. Friday is 10 o'clock E. It is the suit.
Why won't she use it?
Dude.
It's stupid. She won't use it. God.
And we will be right back. Everybody's love line, 1-800-LOVE-191. Joel McHale in the studio tonight. Friday's 10 o'clock E channel or Ryan Seacrest channel, depending on how you like to refer to it.
Yes.
The soup.
He is the supreme commander.
Are you filming something right now for the soup and for this week? Do you film like throughout the week?
We will film most of it on Wednesday. And I don't know what it'll be, but it'll probably have something to do with Charlie Sheen.
Oh, yeah.
Being taken to court and with the launch of his children's clothing line.
Nice.
So...
that's a nice combo.
It's such a fat, sweet pitch that we're not sure what to do with it yet. Sometimes those things are they're so perfect that we're like, we can't even touch it.
Poor Charlie.
Yeah, it's gonna be a long row to hoe that guy.
He has struggled.
Yeah, he's got a lot of stuff.
And then last week,
you gotta hand it to a guy who has remained in the spotlight and successful.
Yeah.
Some of those people... kind of, go by way. They
get up on the street.
Like Whitney or Bobby, it's not necessarily that they're professionally doing so well. It's just kind of a picture. But he, obviously he's not nearly with that. But he's on like one of the top shows on television.
And he struggled with heroin for a long time.
Yeah.
So who knows what else.
And the whole Heidi Fleiss deal and the personal checks to her.
But he sort of, some people just become that guy.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? He gets a buy because that's Charlie Sheen. That's
just
who he is. His whole persona is...
it's taken for granted.
Yeah, that's who he is.
But...
Snoop smokes pot. Charlie Sheen gets in trouble, you know.
But when you got your wife taking you to court with kids...
Yeah. It's not funny.
That's where it gets a little hard to make jokes, obviously.
All right, let us...
Great, okay, let's move on.
Calls that happy
sweet
note. Hey, Tiffany.
What's up, baby?
Hi, Dr. Drew. How are you?
Good. What's happening?
Good. I was just wondering, I was in a relationship with this guy for about 9 months, and I thought it was a pretty cool relationship. And then towards the end, he cheated on me, and I never really saw it coming. And then he came back, and, you know, we ended up getting back together. And then it ended up being a thing where he told me that he couldn't love me because he didn't know if he could be faithful. So he pretty much told me he wanted me to be his whore. So I guess I'm just calling today because I would really like to know, what's your take on men that are just really promiscuous and that can't settle down and actually feel anything past a physical connection with people?
Well,
like, is it part of some type of emptiness or insecurity? Because he still text messages me and stuff.
I'm sort of bugged by the question, to tell you the truth. I mean, the fact that you have to answer the question, ask it in such a sort of heady, sort of cerebral way.
Yeah.
Suggested
deep lack of understanding about men. Here's what, in my book, you should just keep trying with those guys. Because eventually you're going to break through and it will be great.
Yeah. Okay. It's hard to say what that guy is. There's many different versions of that. One, the best version is just a guy who's young and not ready to have a relationship and wants to go screw around. That's the best version.
Right.
The worst version is a sociopath.
Charlie Sheen.
Right. Sociopath. And those guys, it's just part of their addiction, and the girls are part of that, and they're trauma survivors, and they can't, you know, be close.
It sounds like you're around a level 4 with this guy. What level would you say?
I mean,
it was
pretty ridiculous. I mean,
a chaotic good level 4 wizard.
Yeah, and these bad guys that girls go for, this is what they are. They're not, they don't, aren't available for relationships. They just aren't.
So is that and something that eventually changes with age? Or
absolutely not in most cases.
No, yeah, it totally changes.
Yeah, you'll change it, Tiffany. Don't worry, just wait it out.
By the time they're 60, they're monks.
No, that doesn't change.
By the time they're 60, okay.
It really doesn't change.
It's good to just stay away from him then, because he makes
Occasionally there's a guy that changes, but you can't tell. That guy, if there's drugs and alcohol involved, if there's trauma history, it ain't going to change.
Okay.
And even then, the guy that looks like somebody that might change may not change.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if somebody is, you know, sort of really has trouble appreciating other people's feelings.
And if he actually has said, I'd like you to be my whore.
Yeah, that's a bad sign.
You want to maybe consider not being with
him. Call Joel crazy.
Call me nuts.
But I
think you should stay with him.
Heather.
Hello. How are you guys doing?
What's happening?
Good.
I am so glad Joel's on the show. Dr. Drew, you got me rehooked on the soup.
I know.
This is great.
I know. It is good. Yeah, when was the last time you watched the soup before Joel came around?
I watched it with Hal Sparks, and then when he left, I lost my love for it. But now I have it again.
It's all back. It's all back.
Thank God for you. Will you tell all your friends? Because we don't get as much press as I think we...
I'll do it, I can.
You would spend. You're going to spend a little money.
Do you think Adam Carolla is ever going to come guest host again?
On the soup? On Loveline?
On Loveline?
He can't on Loveline. He's got a new owner. He's got a new boss.
Oh,
and he'd only get about 2 hours of sleep if he did it.
Yeah. What's that, Heather?
Oh, he's not allowed to then.
Well, not really. I mean, I guess it could, but he start broadcasting at like 4 in the morning for,
right.
I'm sure he's on there in San Diego somewhere.
Oh, yeah, exhausted. I listen to him every morning.
Yeah.
All right.
But, okay, sorry.
I'm going to do his show on Thursday, by the way.
Really?
Heather.
What's that?
So I'm gonna be on his show on Thursday.
What time?
Oh, sweet.
I don't know, like 8 o'clock, something like that?
Okay.
How do they work? You go on stand for an hour, or what do you do?
I was on there for about half an hour.
Yeah.
That's how long. It's
well, he and I will start fighting. We won't make it.
But that'll be great radio. It'll be good fighting. It won't be Dr. Phil, Dr. Drew.
Oh, no. It'll be down dirty Adam calling me names fighting. What's up, man? Oh, you never heard him talk to me.
No.
Oh. Heather, what's up?
Dr. Drew, you talk so much more now that he's gone. Like, I barely even recognized your voice before when he was on just because he was talking so much.
Shut up, Anderson. Just shut up and do the buttons, would you, please?
Okay. My question is about the HPV vaccine.
Yes, ma'am.
I read that it is getting some difficulties on the federal level, that they're trying to block it.
Very bizarre. This is something that could save millions of lives worldwide. Millions.
Is that kind of the same mentality as don't give them contraception and they won't have sex?
It's that same idea that if you arm kids with information or equipment or protection from sexual behaviors or for managing sexual behaviors, you're going to encourage the sexual behaviors.
Right.
Now, I'm sympathetic.
I agree that would happen if it was delivered in a real sensual way.
With a porn?
Like, just if you went to health class and the lights were all low and they're like, hey, everybody, come on in.
Oh,
hey, how you doing? How was the...
Well, that's the sex education.
How was geometry?
But this is just the issue of vaccinating everybody so the whole HPV / wart issue goes away. And by the way, the warts are the cause of cervical cancer. Cervical cancer kills millions of young women. We are literally talking about sacrificing millions of young women's lives to an ideology. And that is reprehensible. Reprehensible. And the fact that it's even being held up 5 minutes, I find beyond reproach. And I think it is just something that is disgusting to me. And I, you know, yes, so yes, we have to work on young people's behavior. We have to discourage sexual behavior and give them good reason for it, but to not allow them protection that would save their life and the lives of many, many, I cannot understand it. So, the vaccine will be available soon.
I'm sorry.
It'll be available soon, and everyone needs to get it, bottom line.
Where did it get held up?
There's basically a... I don't think it's the FDA this time. It's sort of the distribution and the labeling and stuff, because it's such a egregious thing for them to get in the way of.
She was great. That was a great show.
Protect, in other words, the ideology here would be, well, if these girls get cervical cancer, it's their fault.
Right.
They had sex too early. They got HPV. Hey, that's their, they got it. What do you
think of the FDA last week stopping medical marijuana?
That doesn't surprise me. That actually is a defensible position.
Is it really?
There's really no good, I mean, here's the deal. Here's the lunacy and all that. Is that if you're dying of cancer and you have pain,
right?
I can give you heroin. I can give you morphine. I can give you OxyContin to make you comfortable.
Right.
But if pot's the thing that would really help you, it really might make you feel good, because you're a marijuana addict, whatever. You like pot.
Right.
I can't give you that.
Really?
I can't give you that, because that's a bad drug. And that's silly. Now, the problem is that the people that sort of want to see marijuana legalized have made bogus sort of claims about medical marijuana.
About what it can do for you.
Yeah, and that bothers me, too. Yes, if you're a marijuana addict and you want to get high and your days are numbered, enjoy.
Right.
On the other hand, if you have glaucoma, there's 6,000 better treatments. And by the way, any doctor that prescribed marijuana would be... potentially practicing malpractice.
Okay. All right.
And from the standpoint of nausea, By the way, yeah, we're going to come up with the nausea. There's many, many different compounds, chemicals in marijuana smoke. We're going to come up with the one that corrects the nausea. It's probably different than the one that causes the high. When we isolate that compound, those patients aren't going to be so interested in that anymore.
Right.
They're not interested in that. Nausea. Okay. They're interested in high. Right. And that's fine. If they have bad illness and it makes them feel better, that's a good time.
I learned a lot.
Iris, what's happening? You're on with Joel McHale.
Oh, my gosh. Hi, guys. How are you?
Iris, what's happening there?
Any questions about marijuana or bisexual penises?
Because I've learned a lot tonight. A lot.
I'm only 16.
Oh,
see.
Joel, you are an absolute doll. I love you so much. And Dr. Drew, you're my life hero. You are just the bee's knees. I'm so excited to be on with you guys.
So sweet.
Okay.
Oh, I'm blushing.
Tonight we've only taken calls from towns that are associated with Richard Nixon.
It's weird.
Well, now we have Whittier.
All right.
We have
Belinda.
We need a D.C. maybe.
Yeah,
you know, we got D.C.
So what's up, Iris?
How about we take one from Laos? Or Cambodia, where he was secretly born. All right, go ahead. Sorry.
Okay. I'm so nervous. I'm sorry.
You're going to do great. Just one word at a time. Just take a deep breath. You'll be great.
I haven't heard that one before. Okay.
All right.
I have this, I don't know, I guess like fetish that I'm only aroused if my partner is either hurting me or saying, like, degrading things to me. And,
You sounded pretty normal at first, and now...
I'm sorry.
It's all right. Go ahead.
How far do you get into that? I mean, first of all, you're 16. That's pretty heady stuff to be into at 16, right?
Yeah.
How old were you when you started having sex?
13.
Oh,
don't groan.
Poor slut bitch.
Didn't it seem early to you?
Did it seem early to you?
Yeah, it did.
Don't you wish you'd waited?
A little bit, but it was...
A little...
All right.
I don't know.
Are you with the same guy?
Oh, man.
Oh, no.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
No, yeah.
Okay,
Have you had a lot of partners?
No, not too many.
Not good.
Oh, my gosh, this is so terrible. Well, I don't have a lot of, sexual partners as far as intercourse goes, but I'm very promiscuous when it comes to, like, oral sex.
Oh, that's okay.
Thanks, Joel, thanks.
No, come on. Now, what, did something happen to you?
Yes.
Drew, you want to call it, maybe?
Here we go.
I know you guys used to gamble, but I'll pretend you're a magic eight ball, and I'll shake you up.
Nothing's coming.
Really?
Yeah, I don't get it. I quite see it. She's been eluding me since she, you know, it's not been fitting for me since she answered the phone. I'm surprised that she's a trauma survivor. I'm surprised.
Because she didn't have, like, a little girl voice.
Oh, I got it. Is there manic depression in your family?
Yes.
There we go.
Look at that.
So
you got to go on one of those poker shows. You really should start playing Hold'em. You'd be so good at it. You just look at the guy, and you wouldn't know what the cards were, but you could just look at him, and you went, when did your uncle touch you? And they're like, I'm out, I fold. I was going to check raise you, but now I'm out. Man, he touched me when I was 8.
So here's what this sounds like. It's like more of a bipolar thing, where Iris yelled a giggly and laughy and fast speech and stuff. It was a little bit manicky. And that's why she's expressing that kind of hypomania, and it doesn't feel bad to her. It's not like she's trying to solve a problem with it. It's just on it comes.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because you notice she's like, okay, well, 13. Yeah, I wish I waited till 14.
Wasn't bad.
But anyway, yeah, she's not traumatized. She's not disturbed. She's just on a roll. Right. And that's kind of bipolar type stuff. And so what was the trauma you experienced?
Well, my uncle, he used to rape me when, starting at the age of 6.
Oh, that's good.
Oh,
times.
Gosh.
Okay, and other than that, anything abnormal happened to you?
Yeah.
Anything troubling happened to you when you're crying? That's awful.
No, I said yes.
It was. You were so.
Well, you seem. Are you been treated or something? Why do you sound so okay?
I'm just really nervous, and I just laugh when I get really nervous.
So. No, not that. Not that you don't sound as kind of screwed up as you should.
Right. You don't strike me as disturbed.
On it.
But I mean, you know what I mean? Are you okay? Do you have a relationship? I guess the sexual acting out stuff.
Well, I'm usually okay as far as, you know, all the aspects of my life that, you know, minus dating. because, well, it's when I find that the people who are willing to do these things with me, that are really into, like, you know, like holding me down, they can't always keep that in the bedroom, and sometimes our relationships will come really violent.
Oh boy!
And I actually, so terrible.
Iris. Iris, you gotta go to a deserted island.
Oh.
You gotta get on a nice small tropical island.
Did your husband use? Did your uncle used to hold you down like this?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So that's where this comes from. Yeah.
Iris.
All right. So
you gotta go get a battery of people to
help.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's get some work, because you really sound quite salvageable. Let's before you start getting into behaviors, you really
you're gonna
hurt yourself. Yeah.
Okay.
Stop all that and get a good counselor and join the drill team.
Okay. And I have a question. If I make an agreement with my partner that these are some of the things that we're going to be doing, like, we'll talk about it beforehand.
Iris.
Yes.
Did you not hear us?
Yes.
You got to not do that.
Oh,
it's not good for you.
No. This is a past question, though. If I had already made that agreement with somebody, and we usually decide, yes, we're going to do it, no, we're not going to do it before. Let's say that I didn't want to, but he did anyway. Is that still right because I provoked it?
Oh my gosh.
I don't know.
Iris.
I don't know.
It doesn't even...
I can't unravel that one.
Yeah, that was a conundrum.
Yes, but I think you'd have a hard time proving it. Let's put it that way.
Iris, will you please stop all this and go to counseling and call back in like 2 years?
Even in 5 days. Call and let us know you've made contact with somebody. You need someone on your side. Rachel.
Hi.
Oh, my
gosh. What's happening? I know. Poor Iris. She sounded so sweet.
Oh, poor girl.
I sounded so fantastic.
Even the callers are... Iris, call back in 5 days.
Rachel, what's up?
Hi, guys.
Hey.
So I started this new job in October. Now, when I first started going there, you know, I was real shy. I didn't want to talk to anybody. Just kind of wanted to lay low. I'm just trying to start a new page in my life. So I'm already 20 years old and have been through a lot of stuff, and I'm just really trying to overcome that.
What job?
It's like a grocery store.
All right.
What a lot of stuff in your life?
Like, I've been through drugs, violence, sex, jail, everything.
You're in recovery now?
I'm on probation right now. I've done like drug counseling.
Please get a 12-step program. You're on the right track here, but drugs are gonna find you.
Yeah. I do have kind of like a personal problem with counseling, because when I was young, I'm the youngest of 6 kids, and everybody in my family always seemed to have it better than me, whatever. But my parents would always force me to go to counseling because I had a problem with them. And they wouldn't ever want to come with me. They don't want to participate with my counseling.
I'm not telling you to go to counseling. I'm telling you to get in a 12-step program. Get somebody like you, another 20-year-old who's been through something similar to what you've been through, and sit and let them listen to you. Right.
Well,
that's all you got to do.
What happened actually was, like, I quit smoking because I used to smoke weed a lot.
So Rachel, what else do you want tonight? What's the question?
Well, so I'm trying to start this new page in my life, and I don't really want to talk to anybody, but at my new job, there's a manager. She's older than me, and she had a friend too, and so they invited me over to come over, hang out with them and their friends. So I did like a couple times, 3 or 4 times. Then I didn't like hanging out with them, so I just stopped. But overall, I'm a pretty flirtatious kind of girl, so I'd always be flirting with like everybody. And my manager would, the other day, she's like, "Hey, do you want to have a threesome with me and my other friend?" And they're both girls.
Boy.
And
yeah.
Okay, that's your manager.
So let's go back to the Dr. Drew's first conclusion.
Yeah, 12-step.
Get into a 12-step program. Get away from that manager, maybe.
Or maybe if you want to own the store, tell whoever's above her
what's
been happening and document it, and you'll be the manager.
You will be the manager.
Yeah.
You'll be the owner. You can hire another manager.
Because that is totally a misappropriation of her authority.
You should join the 19-step program. Just get more. Yeah.
Rachel, seriously, tell someone above her. You've got to. This is ridiculous. And I know you're used to that kind of exploitation, but that's not okay. Chris.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Caller who goes by Chris?
Yeah.
There you are?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you ready?
Oh, yeah.
Do it!
All right. All right, I had a question about oral sex. It was my girlfriend.
Go ahead.
What's up?
Just do it!
All right, my girlfriend wants me to have oral sex with her, but...
Today, Junior?
I'm kind of worried because every time I try to go down on her, it just it doesn't smell like it should.
Hmm. How should it smell?
What should it smell like?
Well, it's just, it smells kind of... like, I don't want to, like...
It's not like lilacs and roses?
Hmm.
Well,
really?
It doesn't smell like fish, but it kind of smells sour like that.
Oh, boy.
I'm really into, you know, having oral sex. You know, she does it to me, so I feel like I have to return the favor, and she really wants me to, so she gets kind of bummed out when I...
That is commonly a sign of infection.
Okay.
And maybe she needs to go get a pap smear and get some cultures done to see what's going on. So vaginitis will typically do that.
You should tell her while you're down there.
Well, or you can say...
I've tried, you know, several times. We've been together for, you know, like 8 months. And, you know, every time I try to confront her about it,
Don't confront. Just kind of present.
Not confront, but, you know, I try to be as nice as I can about it, you know.
All right, here's what you do. You say you're listening to Loveline. You heard some guy call in and talk about something. You noticed a similar kind of a smell, and Drew said it was an infection. We would get you to the doctor. I'm worried about you.
Hey, Drew, infection usually is caused by multiple penises, right?
Not necessarily.
Numerous penises?
It can be, but not necessarily.
Like a few a day?
But
Anderson, have you experienced this yourself, it sounds
no,
like?
No, I from working on the show, I just want to...
Oh, right.
Questions.
I just want to say, how dare you?
There is hydropenis, which is a problem with some men.
Oh,
which
yes.
is a different thing than you're talking about, than Anderson.
Well, you have to explain to our listeners what a hydropenis is.
It's just based on the name of a three-headed dragon. Yes. Mm-hmm. Some guys...
Called the Hydra.
Some guys have three, and it's a real problem in Greece.
Well, I've got this book here. Interestingly, you know, we...
The amount of skin it takes to make a Hydra penis is incredible.
You could, if some of those forearm jobs...
Can I borrow this tonight so I can fall asleep?
Yes, I want you to take it home and share with your wife.
Screaming.
Please. That's Joel McHale. He is the host.
Even
of
the drawings are terrifying.
Oh, what is that?
Final appearance after application of a double layer of transparent membrane dressing. Note, the dressing covers the entire glands. Great that I noted.
Noted. 1-800-LOVE.
Reading books on air, Drew. Come on.
191 is the phone number. That is Joel McHale from The Soup. That is Anderson bumming our high, and we'll be right back.
Yeah.
Online, 1-800-LOVE-191, Joel McHale. And just if you didn't know who he was, here's Amy to tell us. Amy?
Hey.
What's happening?
I can't believe I'm one.
You are.
Joel, I had a few questions for you.
All right.
I was wondering how, do you, like, make up some of the jokes that you make on The Soup, or is it, like, written...
It is most of the soup is all written out. We write out most of the punchlines, the jokes, almost all of them. But a lot of the time I will, as I'm doing the show, as I'm kind of getting all my energy up and getting all excited while I'm doing the show, I will come up with some other punchline.
Oh.
That sometimes is more successful, other times deep
failure.
You do
a great job. I love you. Me and my mom watch you every weekday.
God bless you.
Every weekday.
It's on almost every day.
You watch the repeats?
It is on every day.
It is on every day. It's we try to keep the show well scripted but as loose as possible. So it there's only really one camera. So it and a blue screen. So there's a lot of room to do lots of stuff and it's you can't really get away from one camera. So it opens it up and so hopefully it's entertaining.
I live in the Puget Sound and I live in Port Orchard, and I was wondering what school you went to.
I went to the University of Washington for acting. They have a really good graduate program up there.
You went to Mercer Island High, right?
I went to Mercer Island High School. Yes, awesome. I grew up in Mercer Island, and
almost
went to
community college in Puyallup, but came on.
Yeah, but I got right through. Yeah, so then I went to the University of Washington for undergraduate and for graduate. So there you go. That's once again a lot of my history coming out. It's great.
Wow.
Thanks, Amy.
Thank you for watching. It's great.
Oh,
Port Orchard
love it.
Rules.
Thanks.
You guys kick squim ass.
Craig.
Hey, Dr. Drew.
What's happening?
A few months ago, I actually talked to you, and you gave me some great advice. I ended up getting into therapy because I was having a problem cheating on every one of my boyfriends at the time. Mm-hmm. And really, I think it was more of a fear of, I guess, you know.
You're gay.
Intimacy. Yeah.
And I guess fear, it's more. What was that?
Fear of closeness. Fear of
you're
intimacy.
Gay.
No?
Yeah, I guess it's just a fear of being rejected that I would end up cheating a lot. And right. It was more or less about the sex as well. And now I feel like, you know, I've moved on. I'm, you know, I'm a different person. I've gotten some help. I was in therapy. And currently one of my exes, well, my latest ex, wants to get back together. And I'm down with that. But the thing is, how do I acknowledge his pain and also, you know, try to make that right without, you know, becoming a victim of...
Yeah.
And going back there and becoming.
What do you,
that
what do you mean his pain?
Again.
What do you mean? I don't.
Well, I know
the pain
that
you caused.
What was that?
The pain you caused him.
Yes, the pain that I caused him, and a lot of the baggage that maybe he hasn't dealt with, or a lot of the things that he may want to talk about. That I feel like that I've maybe moved on and.
Like,
you know,
what are you talking about?
You moved on from him, or you want to get back together?
I mean, I totally want to get back together. It's just. You know, he may want to ask questions about, you know, questions he never got answers to about, you know, well, why this person? What did you do with this person? Or, you know, or why? And I just don't want to go back to that mentality.
Right.
Or
you, if that's his goal, is to sort of air all the laundry of a past when you were in a addicted state, don't go there.
Okay.
If, on the other hand, he's accepting and trusts that you're engaged in some sort of treatment or recovery and is willing to give it a go again, that's fine, though usually if a relationship's going to work and if you really have grown the way you say you have, the other partner needs to do some work too to sort of catch up with you emotionally.
And I'd also suggested, you know, doing this together and maybe going to counseling together, but the thing is, like, he's a Scientologist, so he's kind of adverse to that, so I don't really know how to deal with that.
Well, see if he'll get on Prozac for about 2 years and see how he feels after that.
Well, it's possible. I don't know of any literature that tells us what goes on in Scientologists. Maybe he's had some personal growth, too, in that whatever it is they do. So I can't say that it wouldn't work out, because at least he's doing something.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know that it's...
I just don't know. When did he become a Scientologist?
He's been one since, like, before I knew him, so...
So you were dating him while... The first time you dated, he was one?
Yes.
And, okay, well... I'm not sure, Dr. Drew, what...
I don't know.
So,
what
I mean,
do you want
to
do?
I mean, is there any... I mean, would it be okay to go into the situation like, I don't want to talk about it? I mean,
yes.
You know that I'm sorry.
Yes.
I mean,
listen.
But if someone's really curious about it, and that's going to be a... That'll be a deal breaker.
That's
going to
be a deal breaker, absolutely.
Maybe you bring in a third party, bring in Jenna Elfman, see if she will mediate you guys. She'll
Ooh.
Be like a mediator for you
oh.
guys.
Or how about just a medium?
Yeah.
Bring
in
Arquette.
Well,
there's Arquette.
I would bring in Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Oh, yeah. Yes, you're right. You're a much, much better choice. Hey, Guy.
Hey, Honorable Dr. Drew.
Guy, what's happening, buddy?
I was calling to thank you for continuing doing the show. I've been listening for 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah, Dr. Drew.
Guys from Chicago. I never get to hear from anyone in Chicago anymore. We love that town.
Why? But you're on in Chicago, right?
I come up here for work. I deliver for a bank, or I live in Cincinnati, and I drive up here 5 nights a week for work.
You deliver money?
I get to listen to the show while I'm up here, so.
Fantastic. It's Joel McHale you're on with tonight. You watch The Soup?
No, Dr. Drew, don't. You're great.
I work 70 hours a week. I don't get to watch much television.
Joel, he
sounds way more alert than that truck driver who drives all night.
But I think guy's driving money, though.
Are you driving cash around?
No, they know better, and trust me with that.
Okay.
No, just inner office supplies, loan applications.
Boring.
Like
yeah.
And
isn't it weird when it's a positive phone call where someone's congratulating you, Dr.
And Anderson jumps in with something really obnoxious? Yes.
Oh, I was going to say. I was agreeing with you.
Guy? Yeah. Everything good with you?
No, actually, I can't be fixed. I'm kind of going through life pretty numb. I've had a horrible life, so I'm just going through the motions, I guess.
Why? Well, that's a pretty profound thing to say. What do you mean?
Well, since you asked, I mean, I didn't want to get into it, but, like, I mean, when I was four, I found my father, he just died of a heart attack. My brother committed suicide 10 years ago. I found my mother dead
She died of diabetes 5 years ago. My sister just had an accidental overdose of sleeping pills about 2 years ago. Other than that, what?
I get that you're numb, and I get that death and dying has been a big part of your life, but it doesn't mean you have to give up on living.
Well, I mean, I've thought about suicide, but it's just I'm so scared of being dead because of I don't know what's after. So I mean, I work a lot. I don't I had girlfriends, but my heart was broken a few times, so I've kind of given up on finding.
Guy, it's not normal to be contemplating suicide. That's a sign of how depressed you are.
Well,
to be
not anymore. I mean, as long as I have money, I'm fine.
All right, but I can't say it more clearly than to say just because you've been around a lot of death and dying doesn't mean you should give up on living. You got to move forward. Let's get Todd.
Wow.
In. Todd, from the sublime to the ridiculous.
I am there,
Todd.
Guy.
What's happening, Todd? Thanks for the call, guy. We're good. You're on Joel McHale. What's up?
Yeah, I had a question. Okay, I do this trick. It's called a spocano.
Right.
It's really funny. What it is like, it's like a huge enema, like, I'll be in the jacuzzi and if the jets are strong enough.
Uh-huh.
I put my butt cheeks against it.
Right.
And I let my bottom fill up with water.
Smart.
So that it feels like I have to take a huge dump.
Well, of course.
So I get out of the water and I bend over and I shoot a stream about 5 feet.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Out of your ass.
Sigma Chi's.
I could
used to do that?
If you want.
Out of your ass.
Yeah, it's pretty. It's not. You don't really see my ass. You just see the water shoot out of it.
Yeah,
that is great, dude.
Now, just guessing, but there must be some things mixed in with it.
Oh, sometimes fecal matter comes out. Yes.
Oh yeah. Okay.
So you like call some friends over, you crack some beers, you get in the jacuzzi, you put your butt cheeks up to the jet, and you get out and you take a dump in front of everybody.
Well,
that is a great time. It sounds like you probably have a lot of friends.
No. I make sure.
I want to hang out with you.
It's something shocking that's kind of funny that I don't know. I just enjoy that type of humor.
Indeed.
And so,
wow, all right. Well, good.
Is chlorine bad for my colon?
Any excuse to put things up your ass, huh, Todd?
No, I don't put in, that's all I do. That's it.
Just water. No, I can't think of anything that chlorine is really going to do to you.
Dr. Okay. Drew, come on. Let's come clean.
I wish I could, but I can't.
Can chlorine up there for a while make you look like a moron afterwards when you're pooping out water?
Oh, you'll look like a moron. But
yeah, I mean, you look like an idiot.
It's not the chlorine. Max.
Oh, that guy's a lifeguard.
What's up, Max?
Oh, whoa. Talking to you. First time caller. You probably already get this enough, but
first time
I'm
caller?
A big fan. Yeah. And you're my bedtime ritual for like 2 years. But
cool.
And this is actually... call for Joe. I'm from Mercer Island too, and I just want to say that when you said that, it's like, well, she called. So
yes, good. Joel McHale,
small town outside of Seattle.
Guys getting famous on the soup.
There we go.
I've seen the soup a couple of times. It's a really funny show. Keep doing it.
Good, excellent.
And right on.
What are you doing now, Max? In school?
Yeah, finishing up homework.
Ninth grade.
Mercer Island High. Yeah.
Really? Wow.
Is that where you went?
Yeah, I went there before it was remodeled, and it was really dangerous for a while.
Why?
It was just falling apart.
How many kids went there?
1,200 at that time. Yeah, it was. How many?
It's about the same right now, 1,100, 1,200.
Yeah. It was a great place to grow up.
It's nice neighborhood.
It's the rich part.
It was a
very rich part of Seattle.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. But we got in before it was rich. My parents paid, I think, $80,000 for their house in 1979.
Oh, boy.
So,
long time ago.
Yeah, they paid, well, maybe it was about 90. Yeah, it was a while ago. Okay, yeah, great, dude. Go, Islanders.
What is it, Islanders, name of the
Well, that was the thing, is that from my understanding, I'm sure I'll get this wrong, is that our mascot was an Islander.
Meaning
and nobody,
not anymore.
No one really knows.
Now.
What is it?
The snail.
That's awesome. We're not the Islanders anymore?
We still are the Islanders.
Okay, so that's the thing, is that nobody knew what it was. So you had, like, there's the Tigers and there's kangaroos in Seattle.
Islanders are people like ride whales. I saw that whale ride.
But so that, well, that's what it at one point, so then we just had a guy that was, they painted, he just had sunglasses on, and it was a guy.
But then I went back to the yearbooks from the 70s, and it was so racist.
Oh, really?
It was like a Sambo. And so they had to obviously change that, but they never came up with anything better than an Islander. And so we never knew. I mean, it's a real problem for our high schools. That was the biggest problem we had, pretty much.
Deesh.
All right, see?
That's Joel McHale.
You should have played the You're Boring thing, Anderson.
The Soup, E-Channel. We're going to talk to Jen next.
It was racist. I couldn't.
Interested in putting yogurt inside herself to see what that will do. So we'll be right back. Everybody, it's Loveline 1-800-LOVE-191. Joel McHale in here with us tonight.
Yes, thank you.
Soup. Fridays at 10. E-Network. Ryan Seacrest Network.
Yes.
Dana.
Yes.
What's happening?
Hi, by the way.
Hey there.
I'm calling you.
Excuse me, Dana. I forgot to take Jen's call, who had wanted to use the yogurt in the...
Oh.
We'll get to her in a second. But
Jen, hold on.
Dana, you're cutting my eyes.
Mixing the yogurt.
Go ahead.
Okay, so I have a question for Dr. Drew.
Mm-hmm.
I've been pretty much having sex with this guy for about 3 weeks now.
Mm-hmm.
And we both agree that it's like probably the best, you know, that we've experienced so far. But we've had these times where we'll be totally asleep, totally passed out, and next thing you know, like either I'll be on top of him or he'll be on top of me, and we're in the middle of the act when we wake up. Like,
is he definitely asleep, or is he just telling you he's asleep?
Yeah.
I think he's asleep. I mean, I don't know.
There is such a thing. There is such a thing, but it'd be weird for both of you to be asleep and having this experience. You know what I'm saying? That there's a sleep disturbance where people can begin having sex in the middle of the night, and they will do that in their sleep and really not even wake up for the entire act.
Their partner will just find them on top of them?
They're just not fully awake, and they just don't really... It's like sleepwalking, basically.
Right.
And you can imagine there's some motivation there. You're 23 years old, and you're sleepwalking.
Right. All right. Great.
And, but for both of them to experience that twilight sleep thing is weird. So I wonder if he's the one that's awake and you're the one that's asleep.
He just talked to me about it the other day, and he's wondering if I'm saying that I'm really asleep, and you know what I mean?
No, I don't. What do you mean?
He's saying that she's the one who's asleep and gets on top of him.
I consciously do it and wait for him to, like, be asleep.
No. So here's the point. He's awake.
Yeah.
That's what he's telling you, and he's wondering what you're up to and why you do this, because you're asleep.
How often does that happen?
Probably like 3 times.
Now, it sounds like you're the one that sort of initiates in the sleep, and he gets going, and you don't really wake up. Which I know he feels very proud of, but
once I wake up, I'm pretty okay with it, but
I've talked to some women that only will orgasm during this kind of sex.
Really?
Only when they're asleep, yeah. It's kind of weird. Yeah.
Wow.
Anyway, do you have other sleep disturbances, Dana? Do you ever feel? Do you ever wake up and feel frozen? You can't move.
No.
Walk in your sleep?
No, but I talk in my sleep.
Talk in your sleep? Eh.
Apparently, I don't know, but.
Are you guys doing drugs or anything or alcohol when this happens?
Yeah.
All right, so that's the other thing that'll kind of.
You ever sleep in a hammock?
Predispose this kind of thing. Let's go on. Let's talk to Jen. What's up, Jen?
Hi. I have heard from a couple different sources that, putting plain yogurt in yourself, if you have a yeast infection, can actually fix it.
Yeah. I'm sure your sources are reliable.
And everyone knows yogurt comes with an applicator.
Right.
And so
do you do the Mountain High or the Yale Play?
Hey, come on.
Come on.
It kind of made sense a little bit because, you know, when you have a yeast infection, you eat yogurt, and it's supposed to make it a little better.
Yeah, it doesn't do crap. No, it doesn't do crap. But, by the way, hey, come on to Joel. She's the one putting yogurt up.
Hey, come on. How dare I? Do you do the fruit at the bottom?
What's that?
Fruit at the bottom?
No, just plain yogurt. Regular plain yogurt.
No, like a gay guy. At the bottom of the bed. Sorry, that's really dumb, too. I understand.
All right, Jen, here's the deal. There is something you can buy for, like, $3 more over the counter that comes with an applicator at the local pharmacy that will actually take care of the yeast infection, okay?
Well, like Monistat, that's like $20 more.
Okay, we'll pay for it.
Nice.
I don't know, but there is some pretty high-end yogurt out there.
There is all Monistat.
So this definitely does not work.
No.
It's not as though there are, you know...
But you know what?
Withstand scientific scrutiny.
Tried for 5 years.
Pavel?
Yeah.
What's happening?
Yeah, I'm a first-time caller.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm quite a long-time listener here.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah? No, this is good. Dude, this is good. Go ahead. Say your question.
I have a question for you, Dr. Drew.
What is your accent? Where's it from?
What do I mean?
What do I mean? Where is your accent from is what I mean.
From another country.
Are you from another country?
What other country?
From Ukraine.
Ukraine, okay.
Okay.
And what's your question?
I had a few questions here.
All right, just take your time. Go ahead.
We got all night.
What element do you
slow
think
down.
Just
slow down.
Just 4 in the morning tomorrow. I do.
Pavel, slow down. Go ahead. Say your question.
What element do you think is present in all proteins?
Nitrogen.
No, it's not. It's protonium.
Well, carbon, nitrogen. Why? What's your question? Why do you ask me that?
I think there's some lead in there, too.
Pavel?
Yeah. What were you just asking?
Nitrogen and carbon.
Nitrogen and carbon. There you go, dude.
So, what about the second question here?
Yeah, go ahead.
What happens to the nutrients that are removed from the blood and the kidneys?
Okay, who's removing them?
What happens to the nutrients? They're initially absorbed in the proximal tubule, and then there's a more delicate acid base and sodium-potassium metabolism dictated and carbohydrate metabolism, I beg your pardon, and bicarbonate metabolism dictated in the distal tubule. The loop of Henle is where the fluid is resorbed.
Okay, Pavel, you got that?
Science homework right now?
Am I doing your science? That's what I'm asking. Am I doing your physiology homework, or what's the deal?
No, it was just from a science book or something.
Yeah, what prompted you to ask me that?
Well, he came from the Ukraine. There's probably, the information is not that ready available. He got here, they were probably on the plane ride over or the ship or whatever he was on. It was burning through him.
I'm interested in human motivation. What motivated those questions?
What do you mean? What do you mean here?
What prompted you to call and ask those questions? What made you do that?
Because I'm not sure about the answer here.
This is the smartest dumb caller we've ever had on.
I see.
That's got to be, it is a record.
When they ask what element they think is present in all proteins, they're usually looking for nitrogen. That's sort of a classic.
Pavel, you should really be asking how much carbon monoxide is in the air around you right now.
Yes, yes. Casey.
Hello?
Thank you.
Casey.
Hi.
What's up?
I met this guy at a party, and, I was wasted, and I gave him head.
Mm-hmm.
And, I met him a couple of days, like a week later, and then we had sex.
Yep.
Let's see.
All right.
While we were, this was my first time, so then,
First time having sex?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, there's this dude named Pavel you should talk to. I think you guys might get along.
Okay,
go ahead.
I thought of, like my older brother.
Did your brother ever do anything weird to you?
No.
Okay, so was it just one of these...
Was it just a glancing thought, or did you think about him the whole time?
I don't know, it just felt like it was, like, my brother. Well, not really...
Was it a glancing thought, or did you think about him the whole time?
We actually talked the whole time about family and all this crap, and...
While you were having sex?
Well, yeah, and...
So you're like, really? When did your grandparents come over to this country? Uh-huh. Yeah, that's hot.
I was like, how many siblings do you have? And then we were talking, and then...
During sex?
Yeah.
During intercourse?
Drew, I bet you she thought of her brother because they were talking about their families.
But not
during sex. That's what my theory. Not only that, go ahead.
Not only that, but what sexual partner would be talking about family issues during intercourse? Other than, you know what I mean? It sounds
very
brotherly and weird to be talking about those sorts of issues during intercourse.
Who brought up the subject? Casey?
I don't know. I wanted to call, but...
who brought up the subject initially while you were having sex?
It was me. I barely knew him, so I started just talking to him. Like,
and you thought this would be like, so, what does your dad do?
Yeah, that's...
Really?
I think more than anything, it's just sort of a weird relationship, and it felt weird, just like it would be weird if you were to have sex with a brother or something. Like, this is weird. And I don't know why you evoked that and what it is in him or what's going on between you two, but
you get on the yearbook committee get going with what you're doing.
Or work this relationship out for real. Start dating and figure this thing out. We got to take a break. Yeah. We'll be right back. Does it for another episode of Loveline. Joel McHale, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me again. I love doing it.
And we will love you being up here. We'll have you back again soon if you can put up with us. And you and I and producer Ann are all going to go out to dinner next week or so.
Let's go to El Cholo.
That'd be good.
You're gay.
Thank you. The soup is on the E! Channel. It's at 10 o'clock on Friday and throughout the week, so check your local listings.
Play the game and try to watch all the episodes like that person in Port Orchard.
And I believe we have Steve-O coming in tomorrow night. Just saw him get arrested for smoking on an airplane. He sent me a nice little clip of that. So we'll see you tomorrow night. Until then, this is Dr. Drew saying good night and stay well.
We actually talked the whole time about family and all this.
While you were having sex?
Well, yeah.
So you're like, really? When did your grandparents come over to this country? Uh-huh. Yeah,
like that,
it's hot.